Yay!
Recording in progress.
I probably sound funny this week because I don't have my microphone.
That's okay.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Gonna know?
Not me.
You're not gonna know. How would they know?
How would they know?
I'm Liza.
I'm Riss.
And this is the Little Sleep.
Much reading podcast.
Finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up and he went completely out of his mind.
Jazz hands. Twinkle toes. Oh, are you a Bridgerton enjoyer?
I've never seen Bridgerton.
Whoa, then never mind. I was gonna ask if you watched the new season.
I haven't. Everyone at work has been talking about it, and I'm like, they did what and where?
They did what and where while Pitbull was playing in the background? Instrumental Pitbull? Yeah, well, there you have it. I will say, did I send this to you? Maybe I might have sent it to you because I maybe thought you did watch Bridgerton, but I maybe didn't send it to you. Anyway, there's a new actress on the show that looks just like the way one of Farrah's sisters is described in, her sister Elaine. She like looks just like how you would picture her. And so people were like, she should be in the Court of Thorns and Roses TV show. And then I was seeing a bunch of fan casts for all three sisters. And I'm like, honestly, let's get this ball rolling because I want to watch a Court of Thorns and Roses TV show, even though it would probably be bad. I need to see it. I need it to happen.
I don't think did you where'd you send it on TikTok?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at any of my TikToks.
Okay.
I've been like watching TikTok at night for some Reiki. And then I have been watching it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And the one day I was like, Nick, like, can we watch a Reiki video before we go to bed? And he's like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know, but let's just watch it. And he
Yeah.
was like, okay. So we laid down and I held the phone and he said he was like, I'm probably gonna make fun of it. And I was like, okay. We watched it and I said, don't you like it? And looked up and his eyes were closed. He said, yeah, it's putting me to sleep. I was like, I told you, it puts me right to sleep.
That's the Reiki. Maybe I'll have to start Reikiing before bed.
Me like brain tingles. There's one lady who does it who I really, really like.
On TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will send her to you. She's great.
Slay. Queen.
But yeah, no, I don't know why I don't watch Bridgerton. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I should probably watch it.
I think you'd like it. I think you'd like it. It's good.
That
It's like
like
stupid,
period
but
isn't like my favorite.
that's fair. That's super fair. But if you're ever bored, post up to Bridgerton. What did we read this week?
Weird stuff.
Weird stuff. Weird stuff. Was yours weird?
Mine was pretty weird.
Nice. Mine was pretty weird and also gave me depression. And also, I didn't finish it, but I read enough of it that I can discuss.
I didn't finish mine either.
See, it was one of those weeks. I got, well, let's see. I got 65% of the way through the book.
That's great. I'm probably a little bit more than halfway.
Yeah. Probably also about 65%. Let's
Yeah,
say that.
we'll say.
Sometimes we're just busy and we have a hard time finishing our books. Are you gonna finish it though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably finish it today.
Yeah, me too. I was like, I could I was hoping to maybe finish it right before we started, and then I was like, there's like at least an hour and a half worth of reading left, but I was like, I'll just finish it tonight, because it's actually pretty good. The book I read is called Bog Child by Siobhan Dowd.
And I read Mayfly by CG, no, CJ Lead.
Is CJ Lead a boy or a girl, or are they them?
It's a girl.
Good.
She, her.
Good.
I don't know if it's lead or it's LEEDE.
L, wait, say again.
LEEDE.
Okay.
But this is her first
Queen.
book, so that's kind of slay.
Slay queen. And honestly, good for her because I feel like people liked it. Like, I feel like it got pretty popular. So proud of her for that. Who wants to go first? Could you hear Stella just now outside my door being a little truffle pig?
No.
She went outside my door. She crazy girl.
When did yours come out?
Like 2000 something. It's
Oh,
older.
mine's newer.
Should I go first in that case?
Sure.
I actually don't. Let's actually look when it came out. Do. Bog Child. Two thousand 8. Oh, wow. Oh, no. Oh, the lady who wrote it has passed away.
Oh, RIP Queen.
R.I.P. Queen. And the book came out a year after she died, and then she posthumously won a Carnegie Medal for it.
That just break your heart?
Yeah, that makes me really sad. Because the book is also really sad. And fun fact, this is the second book I've read by her. The other book, so they're all, she's Irish, obviously. Siobhan is her name. And all of the her books take place in Ireland, like in the Republic of Ireland, but kind of during the Troubles. So the other book I read was called A Swift Pure Cry. And it was really depressing, but really good. And it took place in Cork. And then this one is takes place probably like maybe 10 years after that one. They're not connected, but this one takes place in like the 80s. Up close to Northern Ireland, right on the border of the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland during the Troubles. And I think her books, I get the impression that teens would maybe read them, as like almost like historical fiction, but they're really heavy. Like, they're not like that, they would traumatize a child. Which is perhaps sometimes a good thing to traumatize a child. But they're definitely not like, you know how some YA definitely like skirts around really heavy topics? Like this Siobhan Dowd said, I won't be doing that. So they're pretty bleak, but they are, I get the impression for teens because I think the girl in A Swift Pure Cry is like 16. And then the boy, who's the main character of Bog Child, is 18. So I think it could kind of go either way with like whoever wants to kind of read it could read it. But it takes place in, like I said, like n almost Northern Ireland, right at the border during the Troubles. And the main character, Fergus, his brother Joe, is currently in jail, for being part of the IRA. And this is a piece of history I didn't know until quite recently. I think it actually may have happened twice. Or though maybe it was just this one time and it feels like it was further ago, even though it was just the 80s. But the prisoners were being so mistreated in the Irish prisons. And they were basically considered like prisoners of war. They had been like captured essentially by the British troops for being in the IRA and were in jail. And this was under the rule of Margaret Thatcher, who we hate. And so to like protest how prisoners were being treated, a bunch of these political prisoners who were almost entirely like boys under the age of like 26, went on hunger strike. So as the book begins, Fergus's family is like hoping and hoping that his brother's not gonna join the hunger strike because people have already started to like die from being on the hunger strike. And then they find out one day that he has joined it. So that's sort of the backdrop of the novel. That's kind of what's like haunting the narrative. The other thing that is connected to the IRA is that Fergus is like trying to finish up like school and his exams, and he wants to get out of Ireland. Like, he wants to like go to England and go to college and like just escape all the bleakness of what Ireland was at the time. But he gets enlisted by one of his brother's friends to like run packages back and forth for the IRA over the border and back. And you kind of get the impression that it might be weapons or it might be like stuff for like bombs or something like that. But so far, you don't really find out. But it's almost a gothic story because it just has this bleak setting of the sort of mountains and the valleys of that part of Ireland. And like even the little city that they go to sort of go in and out of, which I think is right on the border. Like it's like everything's falling apart and like it's really desolate and there's like graffiti everywhere. Like it has this genuinely really, and it takes place in the summertime, I want to say, because it's like you get the vibe that's kind of like warm out. I think it takes place in June. So it has like this kind of hazy sort of gothic summer vibe to it. All that's going on in the background. The main tea of the book is that it starts off with Fergus and his uncle in like a peat bog digging up turf, because here they use turf as like almost like a fire starter or like something to like keep your fire burning. And I guess the British, because leave it to the British, they're always fucking evil, at some point like outlawed mining turf, probably because they wanted all the turf for themselves to send back to England. But so the uncle and the and Fergus are sort of illegally mining turf, and he discovers a hand coming out of the bog. And he's like, oh, and it's this whole thing where they like don't know who to tell because they don't want to tell the British troops, because obviously everybody doesn't want to be talking to the British troops, but they don't like they can't tell if they'd be able to go all the way back to town and get the Irish guards. And so they're like, what do we do? Like, someone's clearly been murdered, and like they can see that it's like a little girl. And they can see like half of her face in her hand, and she has like a golden bracelet on her hand. And they're like, what the fuck? So they finally are able to like on like the authorities arrive, and everybody's kind of thinking, like, when was this girl murdered? Like, check the missing persons, like da 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 da. But it turns out, and this is actually really cool, that she's from the Iron Age. So the thing that happens, like, I don't know if you've seen this about bog bodies, but like the thing, the bog body, the bog, peat bog, almost like mummifies a corpse. And so they look much fresher than they actually are. And they actually have about six of them at the Archaeological Museum here in Ireland. And I've seen them. And they're really interesting to look at. And I have kind of mixed feelings about corpses being in museums, because I'm like, I feel like you disrupted their resting place, and that makes me kind of sad that people are kind of just gawking at them all day. But at the same time, there's so much you can learn from them. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that. But basically what happens is they realize that this little girl is an ancient corpse, not a fresh corpse. And so she's going to be taken away to sort of be tested by archaeologists, and Fergus sort of gets to tag along with that. But the whole time he's having these dreams where she's basically the bog child is speaking to him in his dreams, and he's almost like seeing like these Iron Age scenes play out, and she's sort of like telling him, presumably she's getting around to how she died, but where I'm at in the book, that's not happened yet. But it's just, yeah, it's actually a really good book, and it's like I said, like it's really, like it makes me really sad, and it's just so much more recent in Irish history than you feel like it should be, because it's like that was only the 1980s. Like our parents were alive, and these people were getting fucking put through the ringer. But I thought it was really interesting to sort of like set a book around this really, like, sort of, I guess, yeah, like bleak part of history that still is like a fresh wound for a lot of people over here, I think. But that to like make the actual forefront of the story, this weird narrative about a child in a bog who's like haunting this 18-year-old boy's dreams. It was just, it was a cool concept. I think it was really smart. I like this woman's writing a lot. I'm sad now to know that she has since died. I think she has a few other books, and I would definitely read more of them. I would say for both of them, if you want to learn about Irish history without having to like read a history book, like would rather read fiction, honestly, she might be a really good place to start. I'm curious to see if her other books, I'm guessing they're also kind of historical fiction that just kind of seems like that was her cup of tea. But yeah, I haven't finished it, but I think it'll end up being, I think I gave the other one like 4 stars. So I think this one's probably going to be the same. I really, really enjoyed it. And it wasn't like weird in the way that you're like, what the hell is even going on? Like, you definitely know what's going on, but it's just kind of like, you're like, huh, like this is kind of weird. Like, this was a really interesting way to tell this story. And that's kind of cool too, if it is indeed YA, because sometimes I think it would make, like, it might be harder for a young person to read a really weird book where you actually don't have any clue what's going on, and they'd be like, what was the point of that book I was just reading? Whereas perhaps this is a good introduction into weird fiction for the youngins, or people who just aren't used to reading super weird fiction like me and Marissa are. Like, because the narrative is still very clear. It's just bizarre. And that could maybe guide you into reading some of the other crap we read, which we love, but that's just completely and utterly unhinged. Yeah, and that's The Bog Child by Siobhan Dowd.
I love listening to you talk about books.
I love listening to you talk about books.
I think that we just both like, I don't know, care so much. So
We do.
it's so nice. I don't know.
That's
You,
why we do what we do.
yeah.
Oh, I love that for us.
I read Maeve Bly, which was really popular last year when it came out. I think the paperback should be coming out soon. I hope, fingers crossed. But honestly, as someone who doesn't like hardcovers, I think the hardcover is so worth it. But pretty much, it's about a girl named Maeve Fly who works at the happiest place on earth, aka Disneyland. And her and like her friend, they say that she plays an ice princess, so I'm assuming that she's Elsa
Yeah.
and her like best friend is Anna. But and pretty much like It feels so there are some slasher elements and it definitely gets into like the grittiness of LA in a way that's really nice. And like Maeve Fly's grandma used to be someone important kind of in Hollywood. Like not someone who's super famous, but someone who you would recognize if you saw them. And so there's a lot of like dreamy old Hollywood aspects about it mixed with like gritty modern day LA, which is really fun. And I think that one thing that this book made me think about is I love a book that feels like it's giving you a really good idea of the place that it's at without being like, this is LA, population of blah, 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 blah. This is what, you know what I mean? Like, just by telling the story and having the place be the setting and having you really get a good feel of that, I think that that is like an amazing aspect for a story. And there's so many books that do that with New York City. You know what I mean? Like the Goldfinch feels like that at points. There are whole books written just to be like, New York City is amazing. So I don't know. And I'm sure that there are tons of books that do that for LA too, but this one just felt like it was giving something a little bit more. It is that very like dry writing that we talked about it like a couple episodes ago. I don't remember if we called it like Gen Z writing or something like that. It is that very like dry, like this girl spilled her iced coffee on me, and like has a lot of like modern day references. But it's also like mixed with this like slasher psycho aspect. But also like Disney Princess, which is fun. I also think in terms of setting, LA is a good place because, and I never really thought about this before, but you know, some books use the place almost like to foreshadow what's to come. LA is perfect with doing that because of the earthquakes. So that was really cool. Let me see. So for readability and interest, I gave it a 7. It's a really quick read. It's not even, I mean, it's short, but it's not even that short. Let me see how many pages it actually is. Yeah, so it's 271 pages. So it's not that short, but I think that like the quick wit of it all makes it feel like it's going by pretty fast. Let's see. For language and style, I gave it a 7. I actually did really want to read the opening. Also, the pages, some of them, like when you start a chapter, have little flies on them. And I really like that. I think that that's a nice touch.
Wait, can I see the little flies? I was letting Stella in.
You see it?
Yeah, I love that.
Okay. Every man shares the same fantasy, and it is this. He will marry a universally beloved sweetheart, live a noble life, and succeed in all the ways his father taught were best. And when he stands at the pinnacle of filial and paternal achievement, when he has finally reached that great height of goodness, honor, and an inarguable virility, then and only then his wife, child, and pet should be ripped from him, violently, unforgivably, restoring ultimately freedom. Because he has done the good thing, the right thing, and only then become the victim of its vanishing, this virtuous man may now turn with the full support of any onlooker to violence, rage, nihilism, and debauchery, which were his ultimate true aims all along, to lose himself in the glorious, sanctioned rapture of retribution. How many husbands of wives have lined up at the box office to live out this exact fantasy that they deeply, fundamentally, and brutally desire? Men are insipid, stupid creatures.
That's the opening.
I actually love that.
I was like shocked. I read this book at like 6 a.m. No, it was probably 7 a.m. And was like, okay, we're starting off bang here.
Okay. Love it. Love it.
But yeah, she really like kicks it off with a bang and like,
hi. This is Stella. She loves to read.
She's so learned.
She's a little sleep much reading Stan.
Oh, she's so sleepy. She yawns.
So sleepy. She said, "What you gonna say now, Missa?"
So for her to like start the book with this like really profound, like thought out piece of language that's so like, it feels so highbrow in a way, and then to move into the like dry, quick wit Gen Z type of language, but also type of story, I thought was genius. I thought that was so delicious. So yeah, I like almost bumped it up to an 8, but I'm like not a huge fan of the Gen Z, you know, of that style. But I still did really, really like it. For form, I didn't really feel like there was anything formish happening. For read again, I gave it an 8. I really thought that it was fun. I could see this being like a short, like Hulu series or something. And I think it's just like a fun, quick read for horror fans. I think it's great for the summertime. For shelf worthy, I actually really recommend having this book because I think that the cover is really fun. And even without the cover, the book itself, like even without the dust jacket, the book itself is like this beautiful, like blue, almost mint green, but blue color. And who does not want that on their shelf? I want it on my shelf. And again, like usually I do not buy hardcovers, but I'm quite happy that I got this one in hardcover. I don't think that it would hit the same in paperback. For plot, I gave it an 8. I love, like I said, this like backdrop of LA. I love that they tied Disneyland into it. I like that there's like a lot of like gritty scenes of like, you know, these two people who have to play like posh princesses by day, and then they're like doing coke in the bathroom and like going to strip clubs at night, getting fucked in the bathroom, like all kinds of like really fun things that I'm like, it's so fun to have this coming from like these Disney princesses. And then obviously it turns dark in slasher also, which is so great. But I thought it was original while still being quite simple. And it really does still have like a lot of bizarre elements to it. That's really great. All the old Hollywood is great. For characterization, I gave it a 7. I really like the main character, even though I don't really think that she's made to be likable. I think she's quite funny. Her friend is annoying, but I think that she's meant to represent an aspect of LA life. And Again, I love like the way that they use the grandma to bring Mayfly to LA. And I think there's something there that Mayfly represents the now, and her grandma bringing her there is like old Hollywood bringing the now and the two mixing together, which is really interesting. And there just is something really weird and bizarre about old Hollywood and about Disneyland and about like this place that's constantly the shadow of like what it once was. You know what I mean? Like LA is not, even like I think the strip club that they go to now used to be something else. You know what I mean? Like there's just so many instances of being like this place is a shadow. And that's really bizarre and interesting, and I liked all of that. So I would rate it pretty high, even though I'm not quite finished with it. And yeah, highly recommend. Fun time for everyone all around.
I think also Old Hollywood often reminds me of the first season of American Horror Story. So that's also why it's kind of spooky.
Also, that was real life. And there was so much crazy stuff. What was that?
Oh,
A yawn?
Santa!
Did a yawn?
She did a big yawn.
Oh, she's
Oh,
sleeping here.
Stubbs, are you tired? Go to bed. Sorry, all the stuff for American Horror Story was real.
Yeah, but I mean like all this. No, I mean like old Hollywood.
Old
Like
Hollywood was real. Yes.
I mean like they really had like women like working on cocaine only.
No,
Cocaine and
literally. And the Black Dahlia story is true.
yep.
And then that abortion clinic story is true too, I think. And then just the sets were crazy. Like Judy Garland, is she okay?
No.
Well, no, she's dead, but like she also was not okay
Right.
at the time.
There's just like so many things that I'm like, this is, which, and I know that this happens in 2024 and people like don't realize it as much, but like that's a whole institution. Like that is a whole, for something bad to happen, it's known by a large amount of people that the bad thing is happening. You know what I mean? For that to be like, that's what old Hollywood was. I think about old Hollywood, I'm like, people really will, they were just like selling their souls.
They were making deals with the devil left and right. And Disney World is kind of the same thing. Like Disney World, when you really think about it, is really spooky. And it's also like a cult.
Yeah.
Disney adults need help.
They are a little bit scary.
Harry Potter adults also need help.
Yes.
You're
Also,
allowed to.
when I go to Universal Harry Potter World, you know,
Retweet. I feel like you're allowed to like both Disney and Universal movies a normal amount. Everybody can like them a normal amount. But if you're over the age of 15 and neurotypical, you need to, well, 18. If you're over the age of 18 and neurotypical, bring it, reel it in a little bit. Bring it down a notch. Let's all chill.
Like, why do you have to go every year?
Right. And they spend so much money.
Yes, it's expensive.
It's
And like, if
so
you got your ticket and food was included, maybe I would go every year too. But like,
And then there's all
you
the ears
waiting
and the outfits. I'm
in line.
like,
It's hot.
it's hot. Some people go every day.
Yeah.
Do you ever see those influencers on TikTok who go like every day they go because they live there? But like still, I'm like you'll see they'll be like, oh, I'll get dinner in Epcot. And I'm like, but stop.
Yeah.
Like I have no, do what you want to do because it's actually not hurting anybody else. So it's fine. But like it's a little weird, bestie. It's a little cult-like.
It did.
Let's take a microscope to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Bizarre.
That was weird week for you.
Were you guys weirded out? I was.
You weren't?
I was.
You were. I was like, Marissa, we know you're weird, but how could you not be weirded out? But you were. It kind of takes a lot to weird you and me out, honestly. Can you hear Stella?
No.
She's like chewing on her foot. For a second.
Pasquale.
Pasquale. I love Pasquale.
And toe biter.
Toe, but yeah, Stella is a big time toe biter. I kind of thought she was chewing on my Kindle for a minute. But she's not. That would be something else.
Just the toes.
She said, I like to eat sheet metal. What are we doing next week?
Yay.
Yay, be who you are for your pride. What on earth are you going to read?
I'm not 100% sure yet. There's this new book that came out that I really think that I want to read, and one of my friends at work just bought it, and I'm trying to get tea on if it is actually worth buying or not. It's called The Z Word. It's a new book by Lindsay King Miller, and it's a zombie apocalypse, but it's also gay,
Live,
which is
laugh, love.
funny. And there's a really good quote about it that I wish that I could find. It's like, the Z word is the queer zombie land you didn't know you needed.
Oh
So
my God.
kind of excited for that.
That sounds really fun. I'm gonna read The Skin and Its Girl by Sarah Seifer. And this is about a queer Palestinian American. And I'm excited to read it. It was in our listicle that we posted for Palestinian women authors on TikTok and Instagram, if you guys want to check it out. Do you ever go on Goodreads and then you see if it has negative reviews and then you look at the negative reviews and are like, you're just stupid?
No, I don't even touch Goodreads.
I don't like Goodreads, but sometimes I'm like, I gotta check what the people are saying. And everybody's like, this plot makes no, this plot is so convoluted and the language is so, I don't understand. It's so heavy-handed. Baby girl. Let's use our reading comprehension skills.
There are none.
Also, maybe I will also have a tough time with it. I could be prejudging, but it also has a lot of really good reviews. So I'm like, come on now, come on now. Its pace is very slow. It
You
is
know,
consensus.
everything is not for everyone.
Everything is not for everyone, and that's the main tea of everything that we are trying to say. Because we've definitely read a book or two that other people liked and we were like, ew. But then we've definitely read a book that we loved and other people were like, ew. Everything is not for everyone. Also, come on, gay people. Like, maybe the bad reviews were not gay people.
Perhaps.
Ever think about that? Ever consider? So, yeah, the next week's episode comes out right at the first full week of Pride Month. Happy Pride Month, gay people. We'll see you then.
Yay. Bye.
Bye. Carry on, my wayward son.
It always makes me laugh when you say that.